welcome to the Happy Ramp podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined as always by Ronald J. Martin and Barnabas Piper. And boys, this is a special day in that it's our 100th episode. Pipe, did you ever dream at the beginning of this thing that we would be 100 episodes in? I mean, just
I had zero dreams about this.
Heights that we've ascended to, and that's very grounded of you. Very, very grounded.
More pessimistic.
Now we are radio superstars. We have a one stop world tour planned for later in the season here, live in Louisville, October 23rd.
Yeah, mark your calendars. It's sort of a pilgrimage as opposed to like a world tour. It's like you come to us.
Yeah, it is. It's a pilgrimage of sorts, and I like that language. So, Pipe, we've got a lot to get into today, man. So, why don't you take care of our business? Why don't you give some love to our many sponsors, and then we'll get into this thing.
That's right. We got to, yes, offer proper love to those who pay us the big bucks.
Absolutely.
So, NavPress and Tyndale Publishers, again, sponsoring the podcast, highlighting the book Next Door as It Is in Heaven. If you've listened to the last couple episodes, you've heard us mention this one. Authored by Lance Ford and Brad Briscoe. Both of them are church planters and trained church planters, and especially sort of in the missional community sphere of things.
Even though it says missional, both of them are not hipsters,
right?
We've verified this.
They both appear to be very normal, grounded, and upstanding people.
Are they really missional? I mean, can we actually make that assumption that they're actually missional without being hipster?
Now,
I don't know if
you're splitting hairs as our resident hipster, man. You're splitting razor cut hairs here.
Well, I suppose it depends. If missional is connecting well with your neighbors, I suppose it depends on what kind of neighbor you have. If they live in, say, like middle class suburbia, then shouldn't they look sort of middle class suburban?
No, I think they just need to look hipster, no matter.
And just be rejected by all the Brooks Brothers folks.
I mean, obviously, yeah.
Speaking of hipster, man, how's the Teavana experiment going? Are you feeling younger every day, Big R?
You know, guys, let me just tell you right now before we continue with our business. I'm sitting here as we speak with a nice cup of Teavana and a four-volume copy of Seasons of the Heart on hardback by Jeanette Oak. How about that?
Oh,
is that hipster enough for everybody?
Sounds like a wonderful afternoon.
No, it sounds like your mother. That doesn't sound like a hipster.
Well, I mean, that is
like an old lady is now.
It's so not cool. It's cool. That is
okay. Gotcha. Yeah. So back to sponsors. Next Door as It Is in Heaven. We've highlighted this a couple times. It is a book looking at making our neighborhoods into places where compassion and care are once again part of the culture, bringing hospitality into more than just sort of hosting people and actually into being neighborly and presenting the gospel that way. So a very practical look. There's things you can do throughout this book to do it with others and actually create a culture of this in your church, in your community. So get that. Next Door as It Is in Heaven from Tyndale House and Nav Press by Lance Ford and Brad Briscoe. And then we have a new sponsor, and they're going to be sponsoring us for a little while here, and that is Logos. So the big deal with this is that Logos 7 releases today, the day this not today we're recording, today that you are listening to this, Monday, the 22nd of August. So Logos has been around a long time, but they are releasing their brand new edition. And for those who aren't familiar, Logos is sort of the premier Bible study software. So massive suite of resources and Bible study tools. You can study in the original languages. They have all sorts of features that bring your resources together. So if you pull up a passage of scripture, they will pull in all the relevant passages on that from any commentaries you have, any books that you have in your library there. You can purchase it at a basic level, or you can purchase these massive suites where you can get entire libraries of authors. And the value in that is that you're getting it for like a dollar or two per book, instead of if you buy them a la carte, it's, you know, $10, $12, $15 per book like ebooks would be. And then they have a new feature that they're rolling out, which is a sermon editor. So you can actually do entire sermon preparation in Logos. And so you can write it, you can build the presentation. If you wanted to use any visuals, any maps, any quotes, you can pull all of that in within Logos instead of having to use multiple tools. And the deal is, if you order Logos 7, so go to logos.com, logos.com/happyrant, or use the code happyrant7 at checkout, you will get a digital edition of Spurgeon's commentary on Philippians for free. So we selected that one because we know that we have lots of, you know, bearded reformed folks who like this. And so who doesn't want stuff from Spurgeon for free? So if you go to logos.com/happyrant and you get, you know, you're a new subscriber, you can get Spurgeon's commentary on Philippians for free, or use the code happyrant7 to get the same thing if you get there another way. So check that out. We're thankful to Logos for sponsoring and to NAV Press and Tyndale House. Ronnie, have you had a chance to use Logos yet? Are you a Logos user, being the pastor among us?
I am not. No, not quite yet. I'm waiting to get a copy of it, and I'm looking forward to how it's going to radically transform.
Is Logos a thing that hipsters can use, or is it too?
Now, will that come loaded digital with your like Bon Iver lyrics and stuff for the sermon prep?
Or yeah, no. Like I can. Elsewhere. No, I can use it, right? So I can call it up on my laptop, but I just got to make sure that I still got my pencil and I'm like writing, I'm transcribing from my laptop.
So you actually use the quill pen in your Moleskine for the manuscript, but this is your study tool?
I mean, I use Saddleback leather products, but okay. Yeah, I get what you're saying, gotcha. Right? Yeah, but same thing.
Dude, okay.
Same thing.
Will it communicate seamlessly with your vintage Commodore 64?
Yeah, ironically. You know, they're actually making me a special version for the Commodore, so nice. It's all good. Maybe.
And it'll come with Jordan versus Bird on it, too.
That's customer service. Oh, that game.
Oh, dude, don't even get me started. That was
I don't even know what you're talking about. All I know is Excitebike from that era, so that's what I'm getting downloaded
also
with.
Also Excitebike from this era.
All right.
Guys, that was a great deal of business that we just conducted on our program.
My apologies to the
listeners. It's how we eat.
That's right. How we eat, guys. We've got to eat. Even radio superstars have to eat. And speaking of radio superstars, speaking of former radio superstars, we have on our program today for our 100th ep, a visionary. Sometimes you in this business are not able to see something through to the very end, but you start the thing and then you hand the thing off. And I'm, of course, talking about this program, and I won't be coy any longer and say that we have Stephen Altrogi on the program. So, Trogues, welcome back to the studio. How are you?
It's great to be here. This is a real honor to be back doing the thing that I created and started for you guys.
I didn't really have the chops to stick with, but that's okay, man.
It's not like I was there at the beginning either. Steven did do all of the creating, and I was just along for the ride.
Well, Barnabas, if you remember, this whole thing was my idea.
That is a factual statement. This was your idea, and we started with some crummy webcam YouTube videos and then transitioned to podcast because people didn't want to see our faces anymore.
And that's when we brought Ted on, too.
That's true.
Well, I mean, truthfully, that was before I was on the podcast. We might want to go back to that visual thing, but that's just a thought.
Sorry, it wasn't even a glimmer in our eye at that point.
We did manage to bring on somebody who has a face that could actually work on a screen, unlike the face for radio at the start. So Ronnie could help us go back.
Although,
into the video
era. Have you guys
era.
Seen pictures of Ronnie recently?
Careful, Trogues. Careful, Trogues.
What are you getting at?
You're what's defined as a guest right now. Let's just keep that in.
And I see you haven't changed your Skype picture, Trogues. We're still working with the same look that we had before. But Stephen, I want you to suss that out a little bit. What are you getting at vis-a-vis the pictures of Ronnie lately?
Well, as I said to Ronnie, I follow him on Instagram because, you know, he's a leader, a visionary. I want to stay in touch with what he's doing.
You want to see what an ideal life looks like, right?
I do. Mm-hmm. I do. Yeah. And I noticed his beard is coming in quite full. And he's always wearing the sort of ironic sunglasses. And it all reminded me, do you guys remember when Joaquin Phoenix did his fake documentary and looked
like
a crazy
man? Dude, I loved that thing.
That's what I told Ronnie he looks like now. He looks like Joaquin Phoenix from his documentary.
You know what? I'm looking this up, actually.
You know, Rachel the Held Evans, like, I'm going to sign off this.
Rachel the Held Evans, it's been a great show.
You're making Stephen very uncomfortable because that was a name that was never uttered on this show when he had the keys.
This isn't my show anymore.
But this, ironic is that that's a name that doesn't ever get uttered now on the show.
That's right. It is a key part.
See, I've just concluded I'm the Steve Wozniak
of this TV show, or of this radio show, in that
he always recorded in a racquetball court.
I was going to say that. Yeah, the audio just went wonky.
That was a great like sound effect you just added on your mic.
How'd you do that?
I'm the Steve Wozniak in that I'm the sort of
not real good with technology. Apparently,
not good with technology. Bad social skills. Just a visionary who rides around on a Segway and doesn't have great hygiene.
You know, I think
all of those are true.
We can all agree with all of that. I was just going to say there's nothing controversial.
And you don't
get
any money out of the deal either. So, just like Steve Wozniak,
he is filthy rich, but that's neither here nor there.
He is Troke, now.
Speaking of controversy, man, you're no stranger to controversy. You're a little bit of a little bit of an internet provocateur, as it were. And you waded into some controversy a couple days ago, man, because you wrote a piece on like the types of kids that you find in youth group. So tell us a little bit about the piece and tell us a little bit about the fallout that rained down on you in the wake of this thing. Okay.
If you need a moment to gather yourself emotionally, if it's a stressful experience, that's fine too. I know that it was you received some abuse over this.
Yeah, please take as much time as you need. We'll move on to another topic.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, guys, don't forget that you guys were part of this too. I didn't completely come up with this on my own.
Barnabas, I was not part of it.
Barnabas came up with almost all of the ideas.
Yeah, but your name's on the byline, which means you take all the heat.
Yeah, I know.
Like, you guys got to understand something here, man. I'm the guy that wishes we would have homeschooled, like, our kid and centered a more youth grouping. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even know what to think about any of this.
Well,
stuff,
dude, and let me be clear, man. We are homeschooling currently one of our kids. So I feel like I have carte blanche to make these jokes now.
And I was homeschooled.
Steven was homeschooled for all, like, maybe even up through college. I'm not sure. And I was homeschooled interspersed throughout my elementary and middle school years.
Oh, so you guys are total homeschool like
I was homeschooled through graduate school. I have a master's.
What? You have a master's in homeschool.
In fine arts science.
Dude, you're
by
a homeschool
Dr.
PhD, man. Yeah, that's amazing.
I love it.
I've got my so I posted this this article we wrote, and you know, initially it was getting a few chuckles, a few laughs, and then somehow 1,500 tiger moms found it and descended upon my Facebook page to inform me that it was distasteful, offensive, that I was a piece
of
crap.
Basically all the conservative Christian code words for funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. They basically took their apron strings, hung me up, and then burned me. Both really and in effigy, which was an odd experience.
Yeah, they would have used a voodoo doll, but that's too pagan. So
they're denim apron strings.
And for some context, I'm gonna give the listeners
stabbed a corn husk doll of me.
Yeah, that's right. They made homemade. I'm gonna give the listeners some of the idea of some of the things that I'll take some of the blame on this or credit as is due that we put together on this. So there was. There was the pastor's kid, the guitar guy, the answer girl, the homeschool kid. And here's the thing. Steven, in a very self-effacing way, claimed as himself as a number of these. He was like, oh, I was this guy and this guy. So it wasn't sort of taking shots. He was saying, haha, isn't this hilarious that we were these kinds of kids?
These angry moms, they weren't placated by the fact that you put yourself in the firing line as well, right?
Oh, no.
So didn't work.
No.
That made them angrier somehow.
I went and read these comments and then added my own where I called him a tasteless heretic.
Uh-huh.
and then I was attacked for not being able to take criticism and being sarcastic in my comment towards Steven.
Oh, and you're juvenile.
I'm a juvenile person who can't take constructive criticism like a man.
Man, I really need to get on social media. Look at what I'm missing. You know,
your life is so incomplete.
It just seems like a wonderful place. It's a feast. It's a feast of delights.
A feast of the senses. Yeah. Judas Priest, man. So, all right, Pipe, you were running down this list.
Yeah. So then there's let's see. There was the short shorts girl, the shirtless guy. I think my favorite was early puberty guy. The harmony diva girl, the one who can't just sing the song but has to try to get a spot on American Idol. The back rub guy. The inappropriate prayer request girl. The awkward sullen sound guy, who also becomes awkward sullen sound guy as an adult.
Dude, those guys are the best.
Oh, they're among my favorite people to hang out with in youth groups because they are so grumpy about everything.
Oh, yeah.
It's so amazing.
Very grumpy. Now, Trogues, why didn't you get like 100 angry sound guys like blowing up your Facebook page? I would think if anything, you would get these like...
Because they already know they're like that.
There's
no arguing with that one.
Nobody in this group owns it like the sullen sound guy. Like, they're just like, yes,
dude,
that's
they're
me.
Proud of
get
it.
Off my lawn.
Oh,
they're
love
like,
it.
Yeah, I got a long ponytail. What are you going to do about it? You know?
They love it. They love it, yeah.
So what were some of the particular criticisms you took, Stephen? Besides, I mean, I got juvenile and couldn't take criticism, but you mm-hmm. really got some.
Oh, I was informed that I have no compassion for youth and that these are kids who are sensitive and that how dare I poke fun at any kids who are in a sensitive time of their life, and aren't we supposed to be extending mercy and compassion to them? And some of my favorites were ones where people were just like, you are not funny. And that was all they said.
You know what? You got to admire the directness there though. You know what I mean?
Just cut to the chase.
There's you're a certain not funny and that. You're not clever.
I mean, Trogues, are these clever? I mean, are these people that have never read Blazing Center? Like, how did they find this?
What? Okay, so check this out. I discovered this today. I saw that someone shared the post on a Facebook page called Spiritual Sounding Board.
Okay.
Mm.
Okay.
That sounds promising.
It's about as promising as you can imagine it would be. It's basically a watch blog on Facebook.
Nice.
Oh, that's like taking watch blog and lighting it on fire. That's
layers of watch blog.
That's a special sort of hatred.
But I mean, that's just like reading like The Onion or like Babylon Bee and being offended because they're being a little sarcastic.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
That's what people do.
But that's how it works.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of that, the Babylon Bee put up a post today about Rachel the Held Evans.
Dude, and it was hilarious.
It was very amusing. It was she experienced doubt because she experienced a moment without doubt.
Right.
Wow, that's funny.
And it was
clever.
It was very funny. And I'm just
no,
waiting.
It's not funny and it's not clever.
That's right. And it's tasteless and juvenile. And if we criticize them, they won't take it like men.
It's offensive.
I wonder if these parents realize that the reason their kids are sensitive is because this is how they respond to humor. Like this,
dude, here's the thing, man.
They are at fault for their kids' sensitivity.
Here's the ironic thing, man. These kids, I'm certain, have enough of a life that they're not on Facebook reading these articles anyway. They're living their lives. You know what I'm saying? They're not reading the Blazing Center.
Yeah, they're Snapchatting somewhere.
They're in the moment.
Yeah.
They're capturing every moment on cell phone cameras, including moments that ought not be captured.
There it is, man.
Wow.
There
that's
it.
I don't know what else there's to be said after that. I
mean,
that's
Barnabas, do your kids? What's sorry, that? Go ahead. I was going to ask Barnabas if his kids have cell phones yet.
No, my 10-year-old asks daily, and I have no interest in getting her a cell phone for several more years if I can help it. I suspect it'll be sometime in middle school, but not yet.
Ronnie, does your daughter have a cell phone?
Yeah, she's like 40.
She's like 24.
Yeah,
true.
Yeah, I knew that. Well, I know that.
Are you asking if my daughter's kids have cell phones? No, not yet. She hasn't birthed any, but we're getting close.
If Donnie or if Ronnie / Doug Wilson allowed his daughter to have a cell phone at the age?
Oh,
of
12. Wow.
Wow. How do we fight now?
Okay.
How do we fight online now? How do we do this?
Dougie Fresh.
Well, you can only do it by typed words. There's no actual verbal interaction because that gets awkward quickly.
Well, you know what? I don't think he's funny, and I think he is juvenile. So let me just throw that out as a first swipe there, you know?
I love it. I love it.
Dude, how does his beard relate to Ronnie's? I'm looking up Douglas Wilson.
Same color.
His is sort of a scholarly beard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, how does Moscow, Idaho, and fundamentalism relate to Ronnie Martin? I mean, dude, what are you talking about?
Baby, Moscow, Idaho is the Ashland of Idaho.
You know what?
Those two urban metro areas have much in common.
Douglas Wilson is just a 68-year-old hipster version of Ronnie Martin.
I bet they also have a Starbucks in a gas station just like Ashland.
In Moscow?
Yes.
I mean, yeah, right. Only if Nate opened it up, you know, or something.
Pipe, have you been to Ashland?
I haven't. Ronnie described it to me. Yeah. It was either, I think it was just pre-recording last, last episode.
Baby, do you still have that hipster coffee shop downtown in A-Town that we used to frequent?
Now they shut that thing down and they put in a restaurant that only serves carnival food.
Are you serious?
Well, I was expecting you to say like Dunkin' Donuts.
No, man. No, they have a Dunkin' too. They built a new Dunkin', which is kind of the pièce de résistance of the town right now. But
it really is. It's the filet of the town, big.
Oh, it is. It is. Yeah. It's where you go out for a nice night out. You know,
it's where you go to see and be seen in Ashland.
Absolutely. They roll out
the
red
Studio
carpet.
54.
And the more you eat, the more you can be seen.
Oh, that was juvenile and not funny.
Yeah,
it was. Well, hey, what if there are people in Ashland who are in a sensitive place? Look what you've done to them.
Yeah, Barnabas. Like me? Like me? I'm the guy in Ashland.
You're the one sensitive guy in Ashland, let's be honest. You're the only sensitive guy there. Everybody else is
dude, they're tough Midwestern folk.
That's right.
It's true, man. I'm not going to argue.
Stolid, I think, is the word.
Stolid.
I'm not going to argue. Whatever that word means, sure. I don't know yet because I don't have Logos on my computer.
You don't have Logos and Jordan versus Bird, which comes with the extension pack.
Okay. And by Bird, are you meaning like Angry Birds or Larry Bird? Let me just get this straight.
Larry Bird.
Gotcha.
Larry.
All right.
Angry Larry Bird. Boys, let's shift gears to a little bit happier topic. And this was one that was suggested by a listener. Pipe, you opened it up on Twitter to suggestions. I made a rare visit to Twitter and read what some of them were, and I loved this one. I actually really liked it, and I think it's because I hear this word a lot.
Can we clarify something real quick, lest everybody get their undies in a bunch? You don't actually have a Twitter account. You went on under somebody else's account. So, no, the hashtag GetTed on Twitter didn't work yet.
No, so, I went on, like, literally not under anybody's account, like, just to look at the thing.
Oh, you just,
gonna,
like...
I was going to say, whose account would you have gone on under?
Okay, I thought maybe one of his... You know, he's a media mogul. He has access to all sorts of accounts for different podcasts and publishing companies and whatever else. So I thought, you know... But anyway...
Hey, before I forget...
Ted Kluck does not have a Twitter account.
Before I forget, did you want me to answer the rehab question? Didn't that keep coming up?
Dude, I feel like that joke kind of jumped the shark, man. I don't know. You know what
Barnabas told me to talk about it.
Well,
so
listeners were curious as to the well-being of one Stephen L. Trogi, and if there was, you know, if there was like you had a great life turnaround testimony, or how rehab was going, or those kinds of things. So, if there was something notable, feel free to share.
Yeah, talk about it. You got 2 minutes because I got a schedule here.
Keep your testimony short, and then get to the altar call.
Look, it's not that big of a deal. I'm fine. I'm down to 2 lines of cocaine a day. And
just to keep you going.
Yeah, I'm working on a book called To Hell and Back and Then Back to Hell. And it's going to be good.
Well, is that Tyndale Nav Press, Waterbrook Multnomah?
The giant Moody? Conglomerate.
Yeah.
Obviously, Big T, that's Crossway.
No, Moody signed that one up because they're getting more progressive.
Well, I've actually been in talks with Zach over at Gut Check to maybe do that as a Gut Check book.
Oh, snap.
Wow. Going above my head, man.
Did he not tell you that?
No, he didn't. We don't have a lot of meetings at Gut Check. So
I'm sure he was figuring out how to broach the subject without stepping on any toes, because that could be awkward. You know,
that's
just
true.
Former host, did they part ways amicably? Is Ted
all the emotions.
Slip into to debauchery. I mean,
Big T, if you need a minute to pause off the air and think about this, just tell
Big
us.
Big R, thank you so much, man. There's a lot of emotion in the room right now.
It's getting heavy.
I'm just dealing with a lot.
Feeling a heavy cloud of seriousness descend on us via Reform Pubcast.
Being pulled in a lot of different directions right now,
right?
Emotionally. But Trogs, do you have anything else to say about this this hiatus? I mean, it's not like you've disappeared from the I don't know, internet world forever, man.
No, I mainly spend my time provoking moms. That's
right.
And texting verbal abuse at me. That's another. that's like a weekly hobby.
That's a full time job, right there.
That hasn't changed. I'm a means of sanctification for Barnabas.
Yeah, he teaches me patience because I have to avoid shooting back with all fervor.
I also text Ronnie probably too much as well. But
dude, really, how often are you texting Ronnie, man? Suss that out for me. Because I feel a little threatened.
You could ask Ronnie.
I feel like he was my friend first. No, I'm not
Big
asking
T,
Ronnie.
Big
asking
T, just remember who we're friends first on this program right now, Big T. And that's you and that's me.
Baby, right? I feel so vulnerable right now.
No, don't feel vulnerable. I mean, baby, remember at the end of the day, it's still me and you.
That's right.
I mean, I don't even know who these guys are. It's me and you.
It's me and you at Dunkin' Donuts in A-Town.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely. Don't forget that.
Sharing a box of crawlers.
You'll always have Dunkin' Donuts.
Big T, how many books have we written with these other two guys? I think the number is zero, last time I checked. Yeah. All right.
Can you imagine trying to collaborate on a book with Steven?
No. I think not.
Putting that out there. That would be a challenge.
Yeah,
I think I would just let him write all the chapters, and then it would be the greatest book I never had to write.
Well, dude, we've got such a good constructive criticism dynamic kind of between the two of us, me and Trogues. I mean, we have a long history of just friendly and helpful feedback.
Of Steven trying to give editorial feedback and you going, leave me alone.
Yeah.
That's sort of the gist of it.
Yeah,
Ted's approach to any sort of constructive criticism is nope.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of relationship we've had. And it's been good. It's working
well. Dude,
it has
been good. I mean, as long as we stick to those parameters where nobody edits Ted Kluck.
Yeah. Nobody edits Ted.
Nobody. And I mean nobody edits Ted Kluck.
Boys, I want to push us into this last topic. The one that I discovered on Twitter, not through a Twitter account of my own. This was from one of our listeners, and it was great. And she asked the question. She was talking about our sarcasm here on the program and our tendency to be snarky and those sorts of things. And she asked the question, why do all wives have to be, quote, precious, right? This is a compliment. This is the ultimate Southern woman-on-woman compliment. Is it not, Pipe?
It's right up there. Yeah.
She's sweet.
Sweet can still have personality. Precious,
sweet can have personality.
Precious is like there to be seen, not heard. Good at cooking, no opinions. And probably really, really good with elementary school children.
Yeah.
Like that's precious.
Precious is the blank slate, man. But just floating in and out of the room, right? So this listener wrote in, why do all wives have to be precious? And she goes, can't we be snarky like you guys? And I want to open that up to you guys, man. And first, I want to say, I have a snarky wife, man. My wife is super funny. Big R, I've spent some time with your lady. She's funny too. Pipe,
oh, absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah. No question. I mean, like,
dude, I wouldn't have it any other way, man.
Yeah, my wife is the queen of snark. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
No,
yeah.
Nobody accuses her of being precious.
Not on my watch. I mean, you know, look, the last guy that did was, I won't talk about that, but it was, there's Big T knows Big M. And there's a sweetness to Big M, but she's also funny. She also lets it fly. She's loose. You know, I mean, it's the way we should roll in this
world.
Dude,
it's what we like, man. It's why we have so many laughs together. You know,
absolutely.
I wouldn't have it any other way.
I'm fairly certain that the prevalence of precious wives is directly tied to the sensitivity towards humor as seen on Steven's Facebook page. That's what happens when everybody has to be precious, because
a lot of preciousness.
All jokes hit a nerve instead of say being laughed at, for example, as a decent response to a joke.
Yeah, but is that preciousness or is that like, see, I separate that. Like preciousness to me is like a precious woman wouldn't even want to like reply to that. She wouldn't even go there. To me, you're talking about like women that take everything like way too serious. Like they just need to have some humor.
Well, I think the pursuit of preciousness devolves into that. Like
that may be true. It becomes the pursuit of preciousness.
I love it.
That's
the sequel to The Pursuit of Happiness with Will Smith.
That's a book title, guys. I think we're on.
I'm halfway through the prop right now.
Are you?
I think Rachel DeHeld Evans is writing that book actually. We think we're all out of luck.
Now is she precious? I know we're treading on very dangerous ground here with Trokes. 100 eps in, but
Stephen, why don't you answer this question?
Is Rachel DeHeld Evans precious?
Yeah, yes. That's my question. I asked this is a hard journalistic program, man.
The answer
is no.
I
wouldn't define her as precious.
No, she has very pointed opinions. Precious people don't have pointed opinions because they don't have any opinions besides like, wow, this is delicious and you look pretty today.
Yeah. Look, man, people get the way they get and it's a journey. I wonder if she ever had a precious phase. You know what I mean? Like sophomore year of high school, kind of experimenting with being precious. You know
guys,
what I mean?
Can we make a commitment to try to get her like on our 125th ep?
That's like 25 eps from now.
Silence.
I'm doing the math
here. That's like January.
That's in a couple months.
That doesn't sound that fun at all.
I think it sounds super fun, man. I mean, I think we'd have a really great time with it, man. I think we're going to go back and forth. I mean, I think it would be kind of fun, man. I think it'd be really cool. Again, we'll find out if there's a sense of humor there or not. You know?
It'd be kind of fun in the same sense, like Mike Huckabee on the Bill Maher show would be fun.
Dude, we'll do some research on Wikipedia. We'll find one thing that we agree on so that we can all be like friends. You know what I'm saying?
There you go. Yeah. Like, hey, we're all from the Midwest.
We can all agree that Desiring God posting articles making people feel guilty for hitting the snooze button is dumb.
Yeah, you're right, man. We could totally agree on that.
Because that was an article they posted, and I actually saw it through her Twitter feed, and she said something snarky about it, and I was like, ah, should I feel guilty for agreeing with her?
Dude, we all agreed with the snarky thing that she said, though, except she was right. Yeah, she was right.
So there, we could start there as a jumping in point.
I've never hit a snooze button in my life.
Well, you're holier than the rest of us, clearly, outside of the cocaine and whatnot.
Dude, you know what's crazy? I read that article.
It's because I take cocaine.
That's right. You don't need to hit a snooze button if you don't sleep.
Big T, you read that article, really?
Baby, I read it because of the funny like back and forth that we had about it, that we all had about it. And I'm like,
How was the article? Was it good?
Nah, I don't know. It wasn't written by John, was it? No, it wasn't written by John. It was another guy. But it was it was all like what hitting the snooze button says about your soul, you know?
Oh, okay.
I think it mainly says you work hard and have small children.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
but I'm sure it said something like the implications of hitting their snooze button, right? Is that what it said? Is that how it opened?
Yeah, I'm sure the word implications was in there.
That's the way you judge somebody for something without saying that thing is wrong. It's like you leave yourself permission to judge without making a black and white statement about their actions. The implications of that are questionable.
Dude, is it weird that I use an iPhone, so I don't think I have a snooze? You know, I'd have to look for the snooze and get my finger over the right part of the phone. I don't even have that. You know what I mean?
Well, the implication of you using an iPhone is concerning.
What's the implication of Trogues being on our 100th app right now? That's the implication I care about.
Baby, listen, we got to get you a vintage alarm clock that you can smack the top of.
I got one, but it just needs a battery. But you know what I'm thinking about?
No, you need a wind-up one.
Yeah, a wind-up one that rings.
That's what I'm saying. I got one of those, man. But you know what I want to do? I want to go BlackBerry. Like, I want to get rid of all this iPhone stuff and go old school and get a BlackBerry.
Baby, when I met you, we had BlackBerries, man. Remember?
I know, man. And I'm telling you, those were like golden days.
Dude, they always have Dunkin' Donuts.
Dude, the little subtle click of the keys on the BlackBerry.
And I'm telling you, did you ever mistype anything with your BlackBee? The answer is no, you didn't.
No, never.
You never mistyped one word on that BlackBee.
Baby, I wrote books on my BlackBee. You know?
So as did I. I think we wrote our first book on our BlackBees, right?
Did you really?
Yeah, because you could. Because there were no errors when you type on a keypad that you can feel. You know what I mean?
I didn't even need any constructive feedback when I turned in a book on a BlackBee.
Anything I've seen you write post BlackBerry, Ted, I mean, you almost want to reconsider it.
It's been a disappointment, hasn't it?
I'm not going to lie.
Editors came into the picture.
It's the elephant in the room. It's been a disappointment.
It has been. But that's not your fault. That's iPhone.
It is. You know? Guys, can I ask a rather like weighty conceptual question here, like right at the end? Are we jerks? You know what I mean?
Is it bad that we all laughed when you asked that question?
Dude, I don't know, man. I'm just like all this conversation, it all makes me wonder, man. It makes me wonder. You know, this article, this thing that Trogues obviously took all this heat for, and I don't know, man. I wonder sometimes.
I think you guys are a little jerky, yeah.
Here's my question, man. Here's maybe what I'm getting at. And maybe we need to do this as a concept ep, you know, in a subsequent week. We need to have an all earnestness episode where we're earnest for 45 minutes.
Dude, we had that like 2 weeks
Judas
ago, Big
Priest
T.
on this podcast for that.
Blood earnest.
Big T, what about that like sermon thing you went through the other day? I forget the topic we were on.
Baby,
I mean, that
what
was
happened?
The
month. Was I earnest?
Oh man, it was totally. I mean, I felt like you were. I felt like I could see. You know, I could see the tears streaming down your eyes, man.
Baby,
I mean,
I was Ernest Hemingway on that thing.
You were absolutely Ernest Hemingway, man. I'm telling you, it was for real. I mean, I still have dreams about that. I still get choked up thinking about that thing that you went through about the thing.
Baby, be strong for me when you feel that way.
Okay? Well, I will. But I'm saying, like, I think we've had some Ernest Epps here.
We've had some Ernest moments of Ernest Epps.
And but you're saying not a completely earnest,
not a completely top
Rachel,
to bottom,
the Held Evans earnest app.
See, in Ernest Epp, we couldn't say that.
We couldn't even
say it. We would, because that is potentially snarky and using her.
Well, no, name. I know. That's why Rachel doesn't sign off with her podcast with, like, you know, Ted Big T Cluck, you know. So, yeah, I know. We'd have to push that to the side for an app.
Ted what the Cluck?
Yeah, exactly. Does she have a podcast?
I don't know, but she must.
Yeah, she has to.
I mean, you're not anybody if you don't have a podcast now, Big T. I think you know that, and I know that.
I feel like we should try to rise to this challenge just to see what that might be like.
Yeah, that would be the most boring episode I think
what that's called is, wait for it, reformed
Man, Big R is trying to start this feud right now. He's like,
and that's the funny thing is, like, he's the nice one, and he just goes after those guys.
Dude, I'm just kidding. And Tupac, man.
There's somebody that goes to my church,
both
and
of whom are
like,
dead. Just
she's a fanatic. She's a Reform podcast fanatic. So I'm, and she won't now, switch over. She won't switch over to the rant. I'm a little offended by that.
Baby, listen, suss that out. Has she said why she's a fanatic of that program? I want to know.
I mean, she's not only a fanatic, but she goes to these little, like, meetups that they have around the country. I mean, she's, like, totally into it because they have those kind of fans. You know,
is she coming to Live in Louisville, I hope?
You know, I can't confirm that because she's not really a happy rant fan. She's all about RP. You know,
I can't believe this, man. I find that hard to believe.
I know. I don't know if she's going to
– Is she a member of your church?
She is, but we might have to revoke that.
She needs to fall under church discipline, I think, Big R.
Well, I think we're going to add, like, a little, like, fine point there that you have to be a happy rant fan.
It's part of the membership packet, man.
You work it in there. Be like, subscribe. It's part of the covenant agreement, right? Yeah.
Dude, it's the covenantal agreement. Exactly.
You guys do covenants at Substance?
Yeah, only with blood. Yeah.
Well, you make them cut their wrists.
Palm of the hand, and then...
I mean, of course we do covenant agreements. I mean, you know, I'm with the Sojourn Network. I'm reformed. What other kind of agreement would it be, Trokes?
Dude, you can't, like, rearrange the parking lot and reform them without a covenant agreement.
Absolutely. You're not even allowed to walk in the door without a covenant.
Exactly.
To be fair, if you're a church plant, you probably don't have a parking lot unless it's borrowed from, you know, the adjacent grocery store or something.
Dude, now that vintage, decrepit warehouse that they're meeting at.
Oh, we got a parking lot. Oh,
dude, you bet it has a parking lot.
Yeah, you
bet. It's got weeds coming up through it, like, all vintage.
Is it gravel?
No, man, it's legit. It's like old school, like asphalt laid out in the 30s parking lot, of course.
Baby, yeah. I love that.
I know you love it.
So are we doing the Ernest episode or not?
The Ernest Hemingway episode.
So here's what we need from you on Twitter. We need your feedback, your input on an Ernest Hemingway episode in which we go all Ernest all the time, all three of us. Start to finish, Precious by Push, by Sapphire, and Ernest, right? We're going to be Ernest and Precious, boys.
Happy Rant suffers momentary lapse of earnestness.
I'm not sure I'm up to the challenge.
Big T, we're really tentative. We're really scared. There's a lot of stuff going on inside right now as we contemplate this.
I sprung this on you guys. We didn't talk about this in our pre-production meeting that we
I know, and I think that's why we don't know what to do. We're afraid right now. Like, there's fear.
Guys,
there's fear.
I need to do sometimes what pastors do, right? I'm just going to sign this thing off, and I'm going to let you kind of linger in the challenge that
Is
I've just
Is there somebody
laid.
I can come forward and pray with?
Dude, that's not enough application for me.
Pipe, you need to just come forward and think about yourself vis-a-vis earnestness. And you too, Big R, and not you, Trogues, because you won't be a part of it. But I say we all think about it, right?
All right.
And I think a little listener feedback would be helpful. So both kind of a yay or nay, should we or shouldn't we? And then also, if we were to do that, what topics need an earnest response from the three of us?
What would we talk about? How will we keep it on the earnest tip?
Or let's just pick the most ridiculous topics we can, and we have to talk about them earnestly.
Now, see, that would be funny.
That's true. That would be funny.
That would be really funny.
Joel Osteen, be earnest.
Yeah.
Joel Osteen, be earnest. Exactly. Oof. Talk about his theology, you know. Yeah.
Yoga pants. Be earnest about yoga pants.
Well, I mean, I think I can be earnest about that, to be honest. So.
Ronnie finds him very comfortable.
I do.
Pipe, you know what we've done on this program? This is gonna take you back a little bit, Pipe.
What's that?
We've wandered to and far, which is not how you say it. That's not a thing. But in honor of Trogues being here.
But it is how Steven always said it.
It's how Steven always took us out. So, Trogues, if you would take us out, I want you to say what you usually said.
Folks, thanks for being with us. We've wandered
to and far. And until next time, Rachel the Held Evans.
Have you ever attempted to read the entire Bible? Did you do it, or did you only make it part way? I'm John Stonge, and I host a podcast that will make it possible for you to make it through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. I've been hosting the Chapter a Day audio Bible podcast since 2015, and every single day of the week, I read one chapter of Scripture, then follow that up with a time of prayer. And if you're looking for daily insights and inspiration directly from God's Word, I hope you'll give the Chapter a Day audio Bible a listen. You can find it at lifeaudio.com or on your favorite podcasting app.